friend. This is Deeper Life, and I'm your host, Alexis Teichmiller. I'm a writer, content creator, and a woman on a journey to finding more depth in life. If you crave soul-filling conversations and long for a stronger connection to yourself and others, consider this your safe haven. It can be hard to embrace who we are, let alone share that with the rest of the world. The Deeper Life podcast is a safe place to show up and hear conversations about relationships, emotional growth, and explore what it means to be vulnerable. If you're ready to dig deeper, I'm here to help you embrace who you are, reflect on your past, and connect with yourself. Welcome to A Deeper Life.
That hurt my tooth.
All right. If you caught that, Matthew just bit the mic because he was joking around. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, my tooth kind of hurts.
You're going to have to get closer to the mic, honey.
Oh, yeah. My tooth kind of hurts, but I'm good.
Okay. All right. We are excited about this podcast episode.
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to really need you to get
closer. Yeah.
Okay. I promise that this is going to be valuable to you. Okay. First off, welcome back to another episode of A Deeper Life. I am your host, Alexis Teichmiller, and I am here with my husband, Mr. Matthew. And hello.
Hello.
We are going through a lot of life changes right now. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen to our podcast together that I released a couple months ago, but it was a popular podcast, actually one of our most downloaded episodes. So I thought I would have Matthew back on the podcast to talk through all the different life changes that we are going through right now. And a big part of A Deeper Life is being in relationship with other people. And I can't think of a more intimate relationship than with your partner. Whether you are dating, whether you are engaged, whether you are married, you are in a committed relationship with someone else and making decisions that impact not only your life, they impact your partner's life. Am I right?
They do. Yeah, for sure.
That was very wisdom-esque.
No, I so I completely agree, especially as of lately. It seems like a lot of the decisions that we are making are huge. Mm-hmm. They're big.
They're going to be big. Sorry, we shouldn't get political and do imitations.
So they're really big. So they're career changing. Mm-hmm. They're location changing.
Right.
We're moving.
Let's dig into that.
Okay.
Let's dig into that. Okay. So some of the big life changes that we are going through and that we have been working through making decisions on over the past couple of months. I'm just going to list them off. So the first one is that Matthew got offered a new position and will be a rotational well site geologist internationally for the next 2 years, starting in August. And that is huge. It's like one of your dreams. I'll let you talk about this.
So I'm going to stay within the same company, obviously, but I'll be, yeah, like you said, I'll be a geologist that now rotates, and I do my—
What do you mean rotates?
I'm working a certain period of time on and a certain period of time off. Obviously, with COVID, that changes quite a bit, but I'll be working my job remotely and on locations throughout the world.
Right. Remotely meaning like internationally, not remote, like he's working from home. So he'll be gone 1 month and then home 1 month. And when he's home, he is home, which is very exciting. And previously he only used to get like 2 weeks of vacation. And now he'll essentially be like working for half the year in a very intense job. And then he'll be home for 6 months out of the year. So that is huge. So with that, and we're going to get into a lot of like the semantics of making decisions like this, but I'm just kind of wanted to tell you like high level.
The challenges that those bring.
Right. So the first one is Matthew just got offered a new position and he is going to be starting this new job. We're going to be transitioning from, you know, being together every day to being in a long distance marriage for just 2 years, but still lots is going to change. The second one is that because of this, rotational job, he will essentially be able to live wherever. So we are planning on spending the majority of his off time in Illinois, where our family is from and where we're both, you know, born and raised. And so that's a big thing. Like, I never would have thought in a million years that with our jobs, especially with Matthew's specialty job as a geologist, I never would have thought that we would have the opportunity this young to go back to Southern Illinois with our families and get to spend so much more quality time with them. And with it being a 2-year contract, we had to decide, where do we want to spend those 2 years? You know, and that there's more on that later. So we're planning on moving, or, you know, spending the majority of our time in Illinois. And then the third one is we're going to buy a house in Illinois. So he's getting a new job, working internationally. We're going to be moving to Illinois, and we are going to be buying our very first home. It's going to be a fixer-upper.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it being a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
It comes along with crazy headaches that we have never experienced, mm-hmm. but I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up in a family where we bought fixer-uppers, and I don't think you did either. So even our families are going to go through new experiences together helping us.
Right.
But it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a new adventure. And the reason that we're buying property in Illinois and buying a fixer-upper is because one of our bucket list items is to own rental property. And again, like, another huge decision was, with this 2 years of time, how can we invest monetarily, like financially, and make a smart financial investment? And, you know, that was for us buying a low-cost home. And where we're from in Illinois, the houses, y'all, are like, you know, $100,000, $120,000, $130,000 that we're looking at. And then we're going to renovate them. But those are 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,500 square foot homes for not that much. And, you know, where we live in Houston, you're looking at $300,000-$500,000 homes. And we just were trying to figure out, what do we want to do with this 2 years of time and with our money? And we wanted to, you know, take something, turn it into a rental property, and be able to cash flow it and make some profit. And, you know, first off, just learn what it's like to own rental property. So that's a huge one for us. So that was the other one. And then the fourth big change is, with a lot of his off time, we are going to be traveling the world. Like, that was a huge pro whenever we made our pros and cons list, was being able to travel. And with his limited vacation time and all the things that we've wanted to do before we have kids in, like, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years. I don't know when we're going to have kids.
8 years.
Definitely not 8 years. So we've always wanted to travel. We've always had these big travel goals. And a lot of our travel has been individual. Like, we've been on some cool trips together, but I've done a lot of my international travel by myself or with close friends. And same with you. You've done a lot of travel internationally with your family. And this is kind of our opportunity to do that together. So some places that we're excited to travel to over the next 2 years are South Africa, Morocco, Southeast Asia, the Bahamas and the Caribbean. We want to go to South America, maybe do like Peru, Machu Picchu, Brazil, all over Europe. We're just like all over the place with our travel goals. And then, of course, we obviously want to travel domestically. We've been kind of loosely planning an RV or camper trip for like 3 weeks out west. So there's a lot of different things on our travel bucket list. And with his so much time off, it really gives us a chance to do that. So I just kind of wanted to like overview all of our life changes before we get into the meat of this podcast, which is making decisions with your partner. And a couple of weeks ago, Matthew and I were laying out at our apartment pool, and I was thinking through all the different life changes that we're experiencing. And this has been a really emotional process. Like, this has been, anytime you're making a big life choice, whether it's individually or something that affects your family or your partner's life, it can be really emotional. You're trying to figure out if you're making the right decision. There are so many different emotions, ups and downs. Sometimes your gut is saying, yes, green light, go for it. And then you might have doubt seeping in or crippling thoughts of what's on the other side of this big life change. I can't envision it. I don't know what it looks like. I feel out of control if I make a big decision like this, you know, if I don't know exactly what it looks like on the other side. for me, I really value control and I try to put myself in an environment where I know the outcome. And when you're making big life decisions, it can be really hard to not have full control over what it looks like. You can plan and you can make lists and you can be as prepared as possible, but we still don't know what this is exactly going to look like on the other side. And so I think it's really good to be aware of that and make peace with that during the decision-making process so that you can just give yourself some grace and understand this is a part of making decisions. And I have to know that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be emotional.
So that's been really hard because you plan a lot because you want to prepare for what's coming tomorrow. And I kind of take it from a standpoint of, I don't know what tomorrow holds. So I'm going to let it come and I'm going to take it as it comes and I'm going to deal with it. But you want to always prepare for it. So in this stage of transition, there's been a lot of unanswered plans that we've tried to come up with, and there's just no answer for it. And that's been a struggle for you and for both of us, because we just don't know the answer until it comes.
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of you can relate to this with COVID and planning and canceled plans and canceled trips and even dreams and goals that have been shifted because of COVID. And so I think there's only so much planning you can do. And I think planning is important, but at the same time, like what Matthew said, there is a little bit of it that's just kind of like letting your guard down and saying, okay, I've planned and done as much as I can up to this point, and now I'm just going to let whatever's on the other side of this just come my way and just, you know, tackle it once it's here. So I wrote, whenever I was laying at the pool, thinking through all the different things that we were making decisions on, I actually wrote out 7 steps. And I don't believe that these steps are scientific or proven in any way. They were mostly just steps that we went through, and I was seeing a pattern in our decision-making process, and the pattern was these steps for us. And so I wanted to share those with you today in case they'd be helpful for you. And maybe some of them are really helpful and some of them aren't. So, you know, take it all in, sort it out later, figure out what works for you. But we all know that when you make decisions, they affect more than just you. Especially when you're in a committed relationship with someone, whether that's, again, dating, whether you're engaged or whether you're married. And so the very first step when a big decision arises is you need to let your partner know that their input and their feelings are important. Like that is like baseline. If a big decision comes up, whether it's a job change, whether it's, you know, a location change, whether it's like how you want to spend $5,000, like it doesn't matter. But if it's you're on the receiving end of a big opportunity, bring that to your partner and say, hey, this is the potential opportunity. I want to let you know that I have not made a decision and I will not make a decision without your input on it. And your input and your feelings on this are really important, because Matthew did that with me. And, you know, that some of the decisions that we've been making, we've both done it to each other, is just reminding and affirming your partner that, hey, I hear you, I see you, and your thoughts and opinions on this are really important, because I recognize that this does not just affect me, that this affects you, and I want to affirm your emotions, and I want to affirm your fears, and I want to affirm your thoughts on this, and it's important to me. And I think that was a really big piece of making these decisions for us, was just that value that we placed in the other person, recognizing, okay, I cannot do this without you. I don't want to do this without you. Let's get on the same team.
So you constantly have to check in with the other person and saying, hey, this is what I would like to do. This is a big career move or a life move that's going to affect both of us. Where do you stand? Do you support? Am I missing something? Is something going to negatively affect us, our marriage, our relationship, that I can't see? Because I mean, that's the best part about marriage, is you have somebody coming from a different angle and seeing in your life that can give you advice, that can give you good criticism. So what's been different with this is actually a, I guess what's been beneficial from this life-changing event is that both of us are having life-changing events at the very same time, which is allowing for it to be more of a, more acceptable, if that makes sense, because we're both having altering events
at the same time. And like, for example, when, no, I totally get what you're saying, because whenever we were just dating and he got into grad school, that was a huge life change for him on his own. Like, you were experiencing that on your own. I was not there. We were not living together. We were states away, and you were experiencing a really big life change for yourself. Just like whenever I was in Nashville and I left my first job and I started at my second job, that was a huge life change for me on my own. Like, you still supported me in that job change, but you weren't there with me experiencing it. And I think that's like, if you are living with your partner, married to your partner, when you experience change together, it can be overwhelmingly emotional because you're both bringing different feelings to it. So that was number one, is letting your partner know that their input and their feelings are important. Number two is understanding how your partner communicates and processes things. This is a big one. So Matthew told me about this potential job offer. He got tapped, which is like, he kind of was like, hey, this is on the table for you if you're interested. You know, think about it, think it over with your family, and let us know if you want to move forward. And so then he brought that to me. And at first, like, I'm someone that really follows my intuition and my gut. I really believe in that. And I believe that when you follow your intuition and you do lean into what your gut is telling you, you build confidence in your decision-making process. And so my gut said, yes, this is an obvious yes. And I still needed time to process it and really try to think out all the different things that this decision would affect. And so Matthew knows that about me. He knows that I'm a quick fire. I know what I want to do, but I also do need time to really process and marinate with the decision. And I like to talk things out. And so it's important to know how your partner processes things. Matthew takes more time to process. We might have a discussion and then he'll marinate on it for a couple of days. And then he'll want to come back and talk about it after he's fully processed it. And I think it's really good to respect the way your partner processes things, because if he's trying to rush me to a decision, I certainly don't feel seen, I don't feel heard, and I don't feel respected, because I feel like I haven't emotionally gotten there with a decision yet. And so I think that was a really big piece for us as well, is just having that mutual respect for our differences and how we process information.
So I think that you have a type of selflessness about you where you immediately said yes, because you knew that it was a lifelong dream for me. Mm-hmm. And it's very rare for me to have this opportunity at such an early stage in my career. However, you also are very...
You can say it.
You're very... I don't really know how to say it. You're very in tune with what decisions need to be made and what preparations need to be in place so that our marriage and our relationship and our life together succeeds down the road. Mm-hmm. So I kind of withdraw and I'm like, she said yes, cool, sounds great. And we'll figure out those problems when they come. But you're the kind of person where you're like, yes, but let's talk about A, B, C, and D on struggles that we're going to have. And let's prepare for that. Mm-hmm. Which is really, really amazing, which is really strong.
Thank you very much. I feel like that, thank you very much for those compliments too. That is trying to, and I know that you use the word successful relationship. I totally honor that those are the words that you choose. And I think my words is healthy, like a healthy relationship, and what's going to be healthy for us long term, not just, oh, this is your dream job, let's make this happen for you, let's move to Illinois, let's buy a home, let's travel the world, let's, like, those are all really big decisions, and those are all things I can get behind. And it's also really important to recognize what things are we going to struggle with that we can emotionally prepare for? And so that's actually point number four, but we're just on two. So we'll come back to that. So number one was letting your partner know their input and feelings are important. Number two was understand how your partner communicates and processes things. And number three is make a pros and cons list together. This has been like low key, such a huge asset for us because it honestly seems so simple, y'all. Like I understand, oh yeah, pros and cons list. Yeah, got it. And if you are not a type A kind of person, that might not be very natural to you. And I'm someone that doesn't always like to sit down and write out every single pro and con, but I highly recommend doing this with your partner. And I think this is an activity that you could prioritize doing together instead of separate because, you know, it's about coming together and really talking through the pros and the cons together so that you're on the same page of, hey, this is what, here are all the possibilities and here are all the things that could go really wrong or be really difficult.
I would say invest in a whiteboard. It is so worth it.
No joke. I think it was like 4 or 5 months ago. I got on Amazon and I was like, hey, I've got to get a whiteboard. I miss it. I want to write on it. And yeah, we did a huge pros and cons list on my whiteboard and it really helped. Like it helped you visualize all the different potential incredible things that could happen and things that could be really difficult. And we did that not only with his decision to take this job, but we also did it with the decision on where do we want to move? Like Illinois was not necessarily a surefire answer for us. We also were interested in maybe looking at Denver. And we were also interested in Nashville because I lived there for 5 years prior to us getting married. And so we also did a pros and cons list of where we wanted to live. And Illinois won out for us because, you know, better, like I wouldn't say better real estate market because I would say that Denver and Nashville probably have like a better real estate market, but it was, let's just say, less expensive. It was an easier market to get into with the amount of money that we had saved. And then also, like, above all, we were so much closer to family. And I wanted to be close to a community that I felt was going to support our marriage because he's going to be gone for a month at a time. And I wanted to be around family and friends that were going to support us in that and be around my parents and my niece and my sister-in-law, my brother and my close friends, because those are my people. And I wanted to be around a community who was going to pour into our marriage and understand that I was going to be lonely sometimes and need, you know, getaway trips with my friends. And if we were to move to Denver, I don't really have a strong community there. And if we were to move to Nashville, although that would have been awesome, I do only have like a handful of friends there, and I still probably would have gone back and visited family a lot while Matthew was gone. So we ultimately settled on Illinois. And so I'm going into all of this because this was like the result of having a pros and cons list is because we really thought out every single specific scenario, and it made the decision-making process easier. But it didn't necessarily say, okay, yes, because we did this pros and cons list, now the answer is 100% clear. Let's just say that a pros and cons list makes things clearer. It doesn't necessarily say, okay, this is the ultimate decision, because sometimes the cons are like they're not as bad. You know, it's like, okay, these cons aren't that bad. I'm gonna go with this decision, or oh, these cons are really not good. I could see this not ending well. This could be a bad decision. So it's not always very clear.
You make it sound like our pros and cons have different bullet points under each one of them. No, so I think another big decision about moving home was exactly what you said. I wanted you to have the foundation and people around you that already knew you. There's just something about a friend that knows you so well and they know exactly how they can read you, and they know exactly when to say, hey, tell me how you're really feeling, rather than friends in a new place that you're still getting to know. Maybe you're on level one, level two conversation, and they don't really know if they can ask that yet. Like, hey, how are you doing now that your husband is gone for work? Like, that was a big reason about home, is that just you're surrounded by a group of people that truly know you.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's like, you know, hashtag deeper life. Like, these are all people that I've already gone deep with and have had a very deep relationship with. And same with Matthew and his. Matthew has an incredible group of friends from back home, and our families are incredibly supportive of our life choice and his job. And so it really did make sense. And I understand that that might not be, you know, not everyone has a home scenario like we do. And maybe moving home would not be a good environment for you. And I totally respect that too. It was mostly just using that pros and cons list to get there.
I would also say that those type of friends that ask you those deep questions and that are truly there for you, you had that in Nashville. You still have that with your Nashville friends.
100%.
However, whenever I'm home, I don't entirely have that in Nashville. And I had that in Denver too. Mm-hmm. However, you didn't have that in Denver. So one place where that actually met up was back home.
Yes, that's a really good point. We should have put that on the pros list. Maybe we did, but I just remembered it.
I'm sure it was there and it had several bullet points underneath.
Y'all, our whiteboard was not white after the end of our scribble pros and cons session. So that was number three. Number four is talking through how the change will disrupt your current life and timeline. And in parentheses there, I have a job change, vacation, budget, social life, your health. So that's your physical health, emotional health, mental health. So really talking through all the ways that this decision is going to impact and disrupt your current life. Because anytime you're walking down a path and you make a huge life decision that veers you off in another direction, or maybe there's a fork in the road, whatever metaphorical thing that's happening on the path, okay? There is going to be some kind of life disruption. And I think just calling it like it is, like, yes, we are going to pack up our entire apartment, get a U-Haul, you know, drive it back to Illinois. I'm going to live with my parents for a couple of months as we buy and renovate a home. Like, there's a lot of life changes that are happening. And that is a huge life disruption too. And so, as Matthew kind of alluded to earlier, it was really important for me to look forward in the next 6 to 8 months and say, okay, here are some potential things I think that I am going to struggle with at home. Here are some things that we might struggle with together in our marriage. And here are some things I think that we might actually get in arguments about. Like, you know, how are we going to communicate? How are we going to protect our marriage as we are long distance for, you know, 4 weeks at a time? And so I'm over here like bullet listing out all the different things that we need to discuss before he goes away. And that's also recognizing, again, Matthew doesn't process like that. And so I can't just give him that list all at once. It's something that we've been talking about now over the course of a couple of months. And I think that's also why I have a lot of peace about this decision, is because it's not just when you're making a huge life change, y'all, it's not just about the short term. Like, a really big piece of it is digging really deep inside of yourself and inside of your emotions and really your thoughts and how this decision is going to affect every single aspect and facet of your life. And I hope that doesn't sound dramatic. It's just the reality. Like, everything about our life is about to change. And anytime you make a really big life decision, whether that's deciding to get married, deciding to live with your partner, deciding to have kids, deciding to like quit your job, get a new job, like, you know, all of those big life changes definitely affect other aspects of your life. So that was a big one that was really important to us. Number five is giving your decision space. If you can, I really recommend giving it a couple of days, a couple of weeks, even if you are able to have time, maybe even a couple of months, depending on the size of the decision. So not only give your decision space, but also give it a deadline. And so I think this is where, you know, as we talk through different things with our partners, we can almost talk something to death. Like, it's just, we talk, and we've made the lists, and we've had all the discussions about the emotions and the feelings, but we haven't actually decided, hey, we're going to give this one more week and we are going to make a decision by this day. And when we did that, it gave us a lot of, we didn't want to pressure ourselves into making a decision, but we also didn't want to lollygag. And That is, lollygag is a professional term. I'm just kidding. But it all, we wanted to have peace about the decision while also recognizing that, you know, we couldn't take 6 months to think it over. We had a couple of weeks to think about it. And giving ourselves that deadline also gave us a chance to process things, but process them in a manner that was also conducive to the decision-making process. Do you have anything to add?
I don't. You said it perfectly. I completely agree.
Okay, so that was five, give your decision space and a deadline. And that's a deadline, too, that hopefully you're agreeing on together, not something that you're pressuring your partner into making, like, hey, you need to give me a decision by Friday. Like, try to really come together and have a resolution kind of conversation in terms of, hey, I think that I might need a week or two to think this over. What do you think? Okay, I think that we should do, you know, 10 days. I'll meet you in the middle. We'll do a week and a half. Okay, great.
And I think that we completely meet ourselves in the middle, because sometimes to plan for a decision, I'll plan about 60% and I'll be like, ah, it's good. I mean, I don't really know that other 40%. Let's not worry about it. And you'll plan 140% and we'll be like, we'll meet in the middle at 100% and it'll be great. It always is.
That's actually a really good point. I love the 140%. That's good. It's also very true. Okay, so step six for us was, again, like coming together and making the decision. So you're giving your decision space and a deadline. And then step six is just coming together and making the decision. I highly recommend not rushing this kind of conversation. For us, it was sitting down at the dinner table with no devices, no music on, no TV, and just talking and just making space for the conversation with no time constraints and no distractions. So highly recommend creating the environment to where a decision-making conversation is conducive. Like, hey, this should be fun. We shouldn't be stressed. We shouldn't be, you know, distracted by our phones or by, hey, I've got 10 minutes to have this conversation with you about this huge life change. Like 10 minutes is not enough. So figure out what that is for you and your partner, and whatever is right for you, obviously do that. But I highly recommend giving your decision an environment to where you can have a conversation without distraction. And then number seven, the last step after you've made the decision, is use awareness as a tool to monitor how you are feeling about the decision individually and as a couple after you've made the decision. The goal of any kind of big life change is hopefully to feel at peace with the decision. And I will tell you that not only the decisions that we discussed on today's podcast, but there's even more life changes in my life that are coming soon that I'll be sharing in the coming weeks. Is I have so much peace. Like, I feel the most at peace with our life decisions that I think I ever have in my entire life. And I really do believe that it was because of these steps that we took together and making space for each other's feelings and thoughts and differing opinions. And we really gave ourselves the time and the grace to just be honest about how we were feeling. And I think that's what really led ultimately to just feeling so much peace about everything. Like am I nervous? Of course. I don't know what's on the other side of this. Am I excited? Yes. But I'm not staying up at night. Like, nothing's keeping me awake. I feel a lot of peace about the decisions that we've made. And I think it's really important to use the awareness after you've made the decision, whether it's the day of or days after or even weeks after, to try to monitor your emotions and really try to check in with yourself and say, am I avoiding my feelings on this? Do I have resentment? Do I have guilt? Do I have unresolute, you know, conversations I need to have with my partner because I know that we made this decision, but I'm actually feeling regret about it? It's really important to have those conversations and to honor those feelings. Because especially with something like resentment, I mean, that's something that if you don't discuss can really be harmful to your marriage and to your relationship. Because if Matthew took this position and I'm like, yeah, honey, go ahead and do it. This is awesome. This is your dream job. You know, we've made all these decisions. But internally, my gut is feeling unseen. I'm feeling like, oh, we're never going to get to spend time together. This is going to be really hard. I'm going to start resenting you because of, you know, you choosing this big career change, and I'm not going to talk to you about it. And then months go by and I've harbored all of this resentment and all these negative feelings. And then you come home 6 months later and I'm like, this isn't working. Like six. What?
6 months.
Well, I'm saying like time goes by. So like, let's just say I was just using 6 months as like an example, but I'm just sharing the importance of being aware of your feelings, trying to understand where they're coming from, and then having an honest conversation with your partner and saying, hey, I'm feeling really stressed about this, or I'm feeling really resentful, or I'm feeling guilty, or whatever the feeling is. And for me, I'm feeling a lot of peace, but Matthew's super stressed. He's got a lot of things to wrap up. He's got a lot of things going on his end. There's a ton of paperwork, and there's just a lot on his end that is happening. And it's almost like my peace is balancing out some of your stress, but at the source of the stress is, you know, stress and life changes go hand in hand. Like there's always going to be stress involved, but at the root of it, he's still happy with his decision. So the stress isn't it's not coming from a root of we made the wrong decision. I'm anxious. This is bad. It's the current environment of there's a lot to wrap up on, but I'm not stressed about us making this decision. It's just, you know, the byproduct of it. Does that make sense?
I think it makes sense. So over the 6 years that we've been together, 5 years long distance, we learned a lot. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we learned was that after not being together for a month and we come back and we see each other, those first few days it's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. It's not awkward. I mean, it's going to be different now that we're married, mm-hmm. but whenever we were dating, we almost had so much to catch up on that it almost made it exhausting to kind of catch up on that. And it was a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's going to be different now that we're married, but we realized that that was something that we battled with when we were dating. So now taking this position where we're going to be gone from each other for a month, we realized that we need to be very cautious of our feelings and how we're feeling, especially right when we come back to each other. And we need to talk about that. How are we feeling? What's going through our mind? What do we need to catch up on? Because we're not going to be able to communicate very much over the month that I'm gone. So we need to do a lot of catching up really quick. And that's something that we signed up for. And we need to grow through that.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, you know, Matthew will be working a 12-hour night shift. Can I say that? Okay. Sorry, there's just a lot of things that I can say. But he'll be working a 12-hour night shift. And so, like, it'll just be a difficult communication. And so, again, like, recognizing that that is going to disrupt our communication of our current life. And another thing about whenever we dated long distance, and I think that we should do a podcast episode specifically on long distance, because I feel like we have a lot of, we didn't do one on long distance specifically. But I think that we could add a lot to that conversation because we have years of experience and we're about to do it again. But the difference there was that we hadn't seen each other in 4 or 5 weeks. And then, you know, we would only see, like, maybe I was in town or he was in town for 4 or 5 days. And so we're trying to catch up on, you know, a month to 5 weeks being away from each other in a couple of days. And so the good thing about this position is that he'll be home for 4 weeks, gone 4 weeks, home 4 weeks. And so that will be much easier on the communication piece, is just being able to spend so much time together and being able to travel together and being able to renovate a home together. And those are all things that we just simply couldn't do if he hadn't have taken this position. So I hope this was helpful. I hope this was valuable in terms of making decisions with your partner. And I will write out all of these different steps and they'll be in the show notes. So if you want to copy and paste them into your notes or screenshot the podcast player notes in the description and use these steps when it comes to talking to your partner about big life decisions, I think this will give you guys great dialogue and just a great path into really respecting each other, making space for each other, honoring each other's feelings and opinions, and then ultimately, hopefully, getting to a decision that you both feel at peace with, because that is the whole goal. And you know, this is not what Matthew and I are experiencing right now is not unique. And you are not alone if you are going through a huge life change, whether you are single or, you know, whatever. You could also use the steps with a close friend. You could also use the steps with a child as well, with you know, depending on their age. I think having these kinds of conversations when it comes to big life changes with your teenagers and even in middle school would be really helpful to help your children learn how to make decisions and talk through big life changes so that they can, again, have that language and just kind of the path into what does it look like to make a healthy decision with someone else. But yeah, I'll link these up in the show notes. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to screenshot your podcast player, jump over to Instagram, tag me at Alexis Teichmiller on Instagram. I love connecting with y'all over there. And I feel like I have had so many deep conversations with you guys through Instagram DMs, whether that's, you know, DMing each other back and forth or whether we're sending Instagram voice messages. I've just really loved connecting with y'all over there so much. And if you're feeling inclined, feeling incredibly generous, I would be so grateful if you could leave a iTunes review. You can rate it or leave a review. It just really helps with the rankability of the podcast. And I am so, so, so thankful for you. Thank you for spending your time with Matthew and I. And I hope that this peek inside of our marriage and inside of the way that we make decisions together has been helpful and has not been easy. Like we have, it's been emotional. We've had disagreements. We've had arguments. But at the end of the day, we know that we are for each other and we're never going to stop making time and making decisions that are going to benefit our partnership. And I think that's really what it's about, is recognizing that when you're signing up for a committed relationship, you are a team. And what I do affects Matthew and what Matthew does affects me. And that's just such a healthy way to go through life together, pursuing each other every day, choosing each other every day, choosing to be an active participant in your relationship. And a huge part of that is being an active participant in making huge decisions with each other. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm so thankful for y'all. I hope you go out there and have a deeper life and make some decisions and make them together.